So we have Carrie Ebert, Catherine Davis, Tiffany Castro. Tiffany, you're the newest of the three. Welcome, and it's all yours. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so when we get together, we talk, we have our, you know, horror stories or just crazy things that happen. And sometimes, I think we saw in that earlier discussion about post-petition appreciation assets, there's just things that happen to a 13 debtor they were not expecting. And I think, closer, further? Okay. So I think part of just things to understand that happened in a 13 that might put the debtor in a maybe worse situation than they were expecting. Some of it is just by the statute, the code, but we also kind of want to talk about that psychological factor that happens for debtors. If we don't explain to them what could happen in a 13, it just becomes a bigger hurdle for them when they kind of get caught in some of these things that are maybe traps or maybe just they weren't explained ahead of time. So we wanted to kind of talk about some of the issues that we see come up. So one of those things I think we talked about in detail earlier, but we're going to go into kind of a different part of it, is how a Chapter 13 debtor is haunted by the Chapter 7 that they didn't actually file, right? They chose not to go the Chapter 7 route. They're going the Chapter 13 route, but they're still held to a lot of those standards. And they went over in detail about what we're talking about, right? The best interest of creditors test, what we're looking for. But it's harder for people in Chapter 13 because it's a moving target, right? We know that 1306 is going to make a larger estate. And we talked about post-petition appreciation. We deal with it all the time on sales when we're actually doing something to transfer that property. But they also talked about, what if you don't do that? How do you just survive in a case and you're getting equity? What could happen to you? What choices you make? What would a trustee do? Would we use it as a sword? Are we going to use it as a shield? What happens? And so those are just issues that come up. But let's think about it on maybe a little more granular level. When we go back and we look at what we're supposed to look at, one of the first things we're talking about is looking at the value. That can be a big problem for Chapter 7 debtors, trying to value assets. How would a Chapter 7 trustee value it? What would have happened in a hypothetical Chapter 7? We're not actually liquidating this property, so how do we come up with that dollar amount? Sometimes that's our biggest problem, is how are we going to actually value these things? So we kind of talked about some of the cases that we had. What are some interesting assets that maybe we don't easily have an answer for? I can't just go look at an appraisal district value to see some other information.
There's no NADA book value, right, for, you know, an emu.
Yeah. You know. So we'll let Kathy kind of start on some of those maybe atypical assets that can be tricky, then what you, in preparing your clients for proving that value, what you should be looking for.
Okay. So let me tell you where I'm at first. I am Northern District of Texas. That isn't Dallas and isn't Fort Worth. Everything else. I'm the hinterland. Okay. And our first example is cryptocurrency. Not one debtor have I seen in 30 years of ours has cryptocurrency. But I wanted to tell you a joke because this is after lunch. And once I start talking about these formulas, I need you to not go to sleep. So I thought about a joke and I couldn't find a good joke about valuing assets in bankruptcy. So then I thought, well, I'll just tell you about a case. So this was in the mid to late 90s. It was when it was taken us to see 90, you know, we were confirming after bar date. We had a debtor file and he was engaged and there was an $8,000 ring in his plan. And by the way, it was a credit union. So that $8,000 ring was worth $2 million to that credit union, I'm telling you. Okay, so he files, but when he puts it in there, he's crammed it down to $500 because the stone is missing. They've lost the stone. Okay, so the credit union comes in. So we're going 9 months to confirmation. Credit union comes in. They are fired up. They want full value on this ring. There's no such thing as 9-10 at that time or, you know, anything of value 1 year. So we go on, and lo and behold, right before the trustee prepares the plan at that time, there's an amended plan. And the amended plan says, oh, my gosh, the stone has been found. We're going to surrender the ring, and here's the address of where you can find it. Bottom line, they broke up, and she refused to give back the ring. So the plan had the address of where it could be repossessed, if you will, off her finger.